Just a minute, let me hang on. Now let me get my reading algorithms on. What we're doing today.
Good morning.
Well,
good afternoon, isn't it? Probably.
Good night.
Something about that self-satisfied.
Good night.
You need to get on TV shows and
good night. I did it.
My imposter syndrome is abated for another 167 and a half hours. It's a big win day for me. Big win. How are you? Are you all right? Are you? Because that was that. Okay. Big win day for me because I remembered what I needed from Wilko's. In Wilko's. I was there and I remembered. And prior to that, I walked past Wilko's and went, there's something I want from Wilko's. So I went in. Huge, huge win. Yeah, you know, didn't know what it was, but I'll go in. And then I remembered. Huge win. Dad's crying in Wilko's. Famous advertising campaign. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, actually. And also, we've got a round of Celebrity Soup of the Day with Rick. We finally got it together. Right, I got it together. I mean, Rick was always there. I wasn't. Anyway, I was thinking, you know, what are your middle-aged wins? A huge middle-aged win. I remember what I needed in Wilko's. Not only that, I saw two pairs of reading algorithms for £8. So I bought two pairs of reading glasses, and I got something very, very... Ow, I just... No, they're not very good, these glasses. I just poked myself in the eye with the arm of them. So I now can't see out of one eye. Terrible glasses, then. Supposed to make you see better, not worse. Anyway, let's press on. I want to talk to you about Clement Clark Moore. Do you know him? He might ring a bell, that name. You'd be like, yeah, I know who he is. So, don't worry about it. Well, just in case you don't, he was born in 1779. He's relevant. Don't worry about it. This isn't, lived till 1863. And he was a lecturer of Oriental and Greek literature and divinity and biblical learning and other stuff I'm not really very interested in. Anyway, he was, what a guy. What a guy. He wrote a pro-federalist pamphlet just before the 1804 presidential election, attacking Thomas Jefferson, who was the incumbent president and Democratic-Republican candidate. It was a polemic called Observations upon Certain Passages in Mr. Jefferson's Notes on Virginia, which appear to have a tendency to subvert religion and establish a false philosophy. Whoa there. He owned several slaves during his lifetime. And not only that, he opposed the abolition of slavery. He owned a sizable tract of land in New York. It was an orchard. He decided to call that area Chelsea. I don't know if you heard of Chelsea in New York. He owned that. And then he sold off parcels of it for staggering amounts of money, but then objected to having to pay taxes to pay for, roads to go through it so that people could access this property that they'd paid him a small fortune for. I'm happy to really sum him up as an absolute pile of human excrement. Maybe I could sort of contextualize all of that and say, well, it was a different time. Maybe I could get there. Maybe I could forgive him. Could I? I don't think I could. But what I can't forgive him for is for having penned the pseudo-poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. He was the one who did that. That was him. He's the one who we now have to blame for all Christmas doggerel plaguing us from now until, next year. Every year you get it. ITV, I notice, they've done a promo, which is all of the... I hate it. It's rap. It's as bad as rap. I heard some good rap, actually, lately. Anyway, I'll tell you about that later. Kevin the Carrot. Basically, Clement Clark Moore gave birth to Kevin the Carrot, the Aldi carrot, about whom some of the worst, poorly metered pseudo-poetry in human history has been created, for whom. I did not construct that sentence well, but then, you know, I'm doing it on the fly, bear with. So, yeah, that guy. I think maybe instead of like a sort of a Guy Fawkes, maybe we should have a July the 10th. Well, that's a good day for it. 1863. It's going to be the something, something of anniversary next year. Maybe we should burn effigies of Clement Clark Moore. Is that bad? I suppose it is, isn't it? Anyway. Yeah, what are your middle-aged wins, was my question. Did I ask that question? I don't know if I did. Like finding two pairs of reading glasses or remembering what you needed in the shop. It's, of course, nottoday@swanburst.com or at nottodaypod on the socials. Or, of course,
you can WhatsApp Jake, yeah, on 07862 032 654.
Indeed you can, and I'm always pathetically grateful when you do. And in fact, we've had some of this.
Not today, thank yous. Xmas Prezi Roundup.
Yeah, obviously, I hope you understand that I'm saying Xmas in an ironic way there. That's not... hey, guys, don't take the Christ out of Christmas, okay? And thanks to Jane, who says, this may not be quite the level of Christmas gift tat you were asking for, but the celebrity calendar genre is a rich seam. The January blues will definitely be lifted by finding Ian Beale. This is an Ian Beale celebrity calendar with tampons up his nostrils. So this is available on Amazon, and it seems some people have bought it. It's photos of Ian Beale. the guy off EastEnders. Some nice reviews on Amazon. Neil says, a stunning calendar with Ian Beale in the most beautiful poses. We get to see him at his lowest and also sharing a kiss. There's violence, romance, and some great action shots. Wonderful. And Sarah says, bought this as a joke gift for my father, thought he was funny and uses it. Thank you. What does he use it for? And Joel has remarks to make on the subject of Christmas tat. He says, while I'm an atheist, I love the Christmas traditions and nostalgia from my upbringing in the 70s and 80s. Oh, Joel, my brother. This included a flimsy cardboard advent calendar, each perforated window showing some Bible drawing with a double-doored 24, revealing the little baby Jesus in his manger, probably. Yes, I remember those. In fact, I remember the days when there were 25 doors, and it was the 25th that had the baby Jesus in a manger, probably. Eventually, Joel says, we graduated to plastic-tasting mini chocolates to be opened in the morning and eaten after school. Yes, I feel like they were like 85% carob. They were disgusting. Now, however, advent calendars seem to have gone completely ballistic. Yes! Harrods, the Whiskey Exchange, Molton Brown and Liberty not only sell them for about 250 quid. 250 quid! That's a tenner a day! That's more than my budget! But many of them have 25 doors. Okay, well... Okay. I'm just saying. That's what really gets me. No, Joel, think back. They existed before. He says, that gets me and I'm as godless as my sofa. What happened to your sofa? One I saw from some cocktail company is so expensive that it only has 12 doors, as giving you a pre-mixed cocktail in a plastic pouch every day would presumably cost the earth or kill you. Has anyone seen some worse examples? I can't say I've seen worse ones, but there are some that I covet. There was like a Studio Ghibli. And I've just realised why the name of that company makes me always think of property. It's Gerber, is to throw up in French. You know, Ghibli. They did one, but it was like £40. I was like, I can't do that. Anyway, Joel says, that all said, it's my birthday today. What? Ah. Oh. That was today. Okay, great. And if anyone wants to get me the Beavertown beer one, then I'll graciously accept. Can anyone do that for Joel? Is anyone feeling philanthropic? Oh, Joel, happy birthday. I'm gonna open a door for you. I'm gonna make you a 26-door advent calendar, and then we'll see how you feel about it. Anyway, also coming in via all of the media is some more of this.
All of our gadgets.
Yes. It's time for Hyperlocal News. Don't know why I called it. Well, I know why I called it. We all know why I called it. That's anyway, Jem, he's got a report in. He's got a local traffic report. Roads relatively clear between my house and the bus stop outside of the Venga Bar and Restaurant on Portishead High Street. I've had to drive there yet again as my 14-year-old and 12-year-old children have been unable to get ready quickly enough to walk the 5 minutes themselves. Keep an eye out for any further developments. That's Jem. Thank you very much. Not today at swanburst.com. If you've got any reports you'd like to bring in, or if you'd like to actually do a field report, Neil's done one for us.
Yes, that's right, Jake. Thank you. Today's local news, a lady called Janice decided to risk nipping into town on the bus, but what a mistake that turned out to be. She was sitting next to an old lady who was looking decidedly poorly. Suddenly, she let rip with a fart that would have not been out of place in an England rugby team's changing room. The force knocked Janice's shoes off and bleached the back of an old man's head. Janice got off the bus and walked the rest of the way into town.
Now, I said this on, thanks very much to Neil and Jem for that, obviously. I said this back on the days when we used to use Twitter, but there's sort of, we're only getting a bit of the narrative in terms of what's happening right now, you know, with interest rates and fuel prices and all the rest of it. We're getting the narrative of, well, everyone's getting poorer and times are hard and people are tightening their belts. That's only half of the narrative, though, isn't it? Because actually what's happening is a lot of people, and we are talking a lot of people, are making unbelievable amounts of money right now. That's what's happening. It's not like the money is evaporating like helium into space, which is what helium does. So once we've run out of helium, that's it. It's kind of done. It literally, you know, when you put it in a balloon and it floats up, it's literally going to space. So it will seep out of the balloon. The balloon will go to space. The latex is actually permeable, which is why they go flat quicker than foil balloons. So the helium comes out and literally goes into space. That's where it goes. That's why they put it in weather balloons. There was a huge surplus of it, I think, after the Second World War. America had this massive surplus of helium. And that was why everyone had helium balloons, and it was really fun. But apparently we're running out of it now. I think you can make it. You probably have to use a computer. I'm no chemist. Anyway, what's happening now? I can't remember how we got onto that. I'm sorry. Right. This is in The Guardian. Yesterday, the firm behind Moët, you know, Moët and Chandon, also Veuve Clicquot, Krug and Dom Perignon, said, we're running out of stock. They have described this as the Roaring Twenties. Whilst working Britons have suffered the biggest slump in living standards since records began in the 1950s, according to the head of LVMH's Wines and Spirits division, there's pent-up demand. We cannot make enough fizz! The chief executive of Moët Hennessy, Philippe Schaus, well, which are you, French or German, mate? Said 2022 would be, quote, a fabulous year, I tried to do both, for its champagne. Starts at 40 quid a bottle, if you don't mind, and can run into thousands. Stocks are running low in their network of cellars that stretch for 17 miles under the town of Épernay in France's Champagne Région. I'm not going to try and do the French German accent. We're running out of stock on our best champagnes, he says. As people are coming out of COVID, there's been a pent-up demand for luxury, enjoyment and travelling. Oh, yeah? Cool. So they cannot make enough money. So that's great. Champagne and wine sales were up 32% in the first 9 months of 2022. I suspect that will go even higher. There are now 218,200 people classed as ultra-high net worth with assets of more than $50 million. That's according to research by the investment bank Credit Suisse. They said there had been almost an explosion of wealth during the recovery from the pandemic. Really? Cool. I said this before as well. Try and buy a pitchfork on Amazon. You can't. Similar gains have been seen across the sector. Kering, or is it Kering, who own Gucci, Balenciaga and Bottega Veneta, reported 14% increase in its third quarter sales. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? That is wonderful. It just goes to show, if you work hard, it doesn't make any difference. It's inherited wealth that really counts. Utterly depressing. I tell you what, why don't we have a bit of fun? Why don't we have another round of the popular game show quiz format that everyone's talking about in the most disparaging of terms, Celebrity Soup of the Day.
Celebrity Soup. Celebrity Soup of the Day. Celebrity Soup. Celebrity Soup of the Day.
Rick is our contestant today, and Rick, you were telling me before I managed to sort out technical issues here, you work, so hang on, half of it is the council tip, no, next to the...
No, literally, half of the building is the council tip, and a very small section is an engineering office, where they stuff the local authority highway engineers, of which I'm one of.
Amazing. Do you ever, are you allowed to go dumpster diving?
Not anymore. When the wee recycling people used to be there, one of my engineers used to go nicky bits of electric because he used to have a degree. Well, he had a degree in electronic engineering and build his own Bluetooth speakers.
Amazing. I had a thing where I took an old phone to my recycle reuse tidy tip centre.
Yeah.
Because you can't call it a rubbish tip now. a strange thing happened. I got a phone call, I don't know, about a month and a half later, out of the blue, from a woman saying, is this Jake? I was like, yeah. And she's like, hi, I think I've got your phone. I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, I bought it off eBay, but it's got all your personal information on it.
Oh, good Lord.
And I was like, it's what? And I'd taken it to my local tip, and... she was like, yeah, look, it's fine. I'll switch it off and I'll like wipe the memory and stuff.
Wow.
I was like, you would, that would be really great. Thinking, oh God, what's on that phone? And I contacted the police saying, this is not cool. This is not cool.
No.
And they said, actually, it's totally cool. And you need to suck it up, you little crybaby.
Oh, really? Okay.
They said you had given it to another place to be disposed of in whatever way they saw fit. And if they chose to put it on an internet auction site, that's their prerogative.
No, I didn't know that. I mean, we have people that were quite upfront about it. I mean, occasionally we'd go and get spare parts for Hoovers and washing machines, and it was great. But
yeah.
They stopped all that, sadly.
I feel like there should be a way. Anyway... Okay, so you're a highway hardware engineer.
Yeah, I'm a road engineer, basically. I used to design and now make sure that people build them properly.
Oh, amazing. You designed roads?
Yes.
Oh. Did you ever freestyle? Did you ever loop the loop?
No, sadly not. The area I work in is exceedingly flat. So I've just got to make sure that it doesn't pond. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'd never thought about that, you see? Never thought about it. Well, I am very excited because, well, this is a good round we've got for you today. I'm not going to lie, it's quite a tough round. But where are we going today? Well, I can tell you as we scan, we are landing. We're going north, long way north. We're in Dundee. Not only that, we're in the northern bit of Dundee, and we're going to Cafe at the Roundhouse.
All right, Dundee's the home of the Beano, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Excellent.
And I've got to tell you, I really like this place. I called them to find out what the soup of the day was earlier. I think they would have been cool with coming on the podcast, but I lost my nerve after having no luck last week. But they're really amazing. They try to, and this chimes with you so perfectly. Zero waste is their thing. So
excellent.
They collect surplus food and stuff that's going to expire and stuff, and they turn that into the food. It's all kind of upcycled, reused cutlery, napkins, everything.
That sounds excellent.
And the woman was so nice, and she said, "You should follow us on Instagram." And I was like, lady, I'm just doing a quiz on a podcast. But actually, I have followed them because, God damn it, they're really great. And they are at Roundhouse Kitchen, and you should tell them how great they are. Maybe don't mention this quiz. I don't know. Let's see how it goes. So That's where we're going. Roundhouse Kitchen, all about sustainability. I can tell you that their special a few days ago was a ciabatta pizza with roasted pepper and mozzarella, or chorizo and mozzarella, with coleslaw and a mixed green salad. But the big question is going to be, what's the soup of the day?
Oh, right. Well, you see, when this first came out, I wondered whether these were fictional places or real. And this sounds very real and actually very nice.
Yeah, no, these are definitely real places. And I do go through the tooth enamel stripping process of phoning people up trying to find out what the soup of the day is.
I mean, we can't doubt your diligence, Jake. That's
I can't defeat my BBC training of safeguarding trust. And even though this is a very low stakes game with no prize, I cannot lie. I cannot deceive the audience. So this is all true.
That's very commendable. Well, I would think that their soup of the day, given their credentials of being sustainable and reusing food, would be something along the lines of a carrot and coriander.
Carrot and coriander. Okay. And how confident are you feeling about this? Because the question now is,
Fête Vosges.
What celebrity are you prepared to gamble on this? What celebrity are you going to bet on this? Remember, if you're very confident, you'll go for someone very high stakes. You know, you might want to do one of the Obamas or something. And if you're not feeling confident, I don't know, thinking Toby Anstis, something like that.
I mean, the thing is, I wasn't sure, because I've listened to the format before. I didn't know whether this was a celebrity we wanted to win or a celebrity we wanted to sort of remove from the equation. Not in a depth sort of way, so I didn't know whether this was doing a public service or not.
No, this is the celebrity you want to win. So, you know, if you won, this would be a celebrity that you could have around your own home. So it's a question of, you know, if it's someone you really want... you know, if you're confident, then go for someone you really want. But if you're not feeling confident, then pick a celebrity that you wouldn't mind losing. Like,
I wouldn't mind losing. Okay, yeah. I'll go down that route, and again down the public service route. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't mind losing James Martin.
Now, why is that?
Well, I think he's a little bit of a wrong, but he can cook really well. So, I mean, that would be handy, and I could perhaps teach him the air of his ways. There's an old programme about cars I saw him once, and he just came across as, well, a petulant child, and I thought, okay, fine. You know?
I mean,
it just sprung to mind when you said the celebrity you could lose. I thought, all right.
Yeah. This is interesting. I hadn't really thought of this as a kind of subtractive game, but I suppose perhaps it could be. I think for me, there's something about the chunky chain on the left hand.
Yes, there is that, yes.
There's something about that that I can't quite take. And yeah, there's a certain cold glitter to the eyes.
Very much so.
From my production experience tells me, get his coffee order right.
Oh, definitely. You wouldn't want to get that wrong. Well, you'd only get it wrong once, wouldn't you?
So look, if you win James Martin,
yes,
what will you do with him?
Well, part of it would be I shall sort of put him to use in my kitchen, which isn't exactly exciting, but at least it provides a service. But largely, it's about removing him from the television screen.
Yeah.
He also seems to get a lot of work traveling around the world, which would be wonderful to any number of celebrities who could probably do it in a far friendlier environment.
That's a good point. I will say he's an incredible multitasker. Like, his ability to conduct an interview while he's cooking is second to none. So you could maybe have him, like, I don't know, clean your toilet while at the same time doing you an oil painting or something.
I mean, that's a good idea, but he'd also have a lot of telephone numbers of people I'd actually like to speak to, you know, like the Matt Tebbets and Simon Rimmer sort of thing, so that's not so bad.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
contact man, yeah.
Yeah, well... Sadly, it's too late to opt for Simon Rimmer because
rien ne va plus.
You have placed your bet, and it is time now for us to find out the soup of the day. There's a drum roll there. You get a roll with it, and it is. You said carrot and coriander.
I did.
It's roast pumpkin and coconut with paprika.
I didn't know that was a soup. That sounds fantastic.
I know. I got to say, I do feel like. They're good people. I want to eat their food. I would go to Dundee just to say hi. Rick.
There's lots of good reasons to go there, I'm sure.
You haven't won James Martin.
I am crushed, but I think I can live with it.
Yeah.
I can live with the disappointment.
Huge thanks to the manager of the Roundhouse Kitchen, Community Kitchen and Cafe in Dundee, for being so nice on the phone. Rick, thank you for playing.
Thank you, Jake. It's been a pleasure.
You know, we'll all carry James Martin in our heart forever, I think. Or at least for the next 10 minutes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks very much for that. If you would like to play, why don't you get in touch? You can email it's not today at swanburst.com. Wow. You can, there's the WhatsApp thing, which I can't remember the number. Or you can add not today pod on the Twitter there if you want to do that. Saying that, I haven't checked it. I should probably check it, shouldn't I? Middle age wins as well. I'd love to know what things for you have been a bit of a win on the middle age front. Do let me know. And 18 notifications. How can there possibly... Martin says, I'm definitely not Lord Lucan. And Julie says, I've been playing Shades of Grey Bingo. Wow, there's a photo of four grey cars back to back or parked there. Thanks very much for all of your communications. I'll process them and we'll stick it back in. And Catherine says, should we reinstate our Patreons? Yeah, I mean, previously when I did this podcast, there was a Patreon supporters thing. I'm keeping it simple this time because it was a lot to deliver in terms of I was doing like live streams on video and all the rest of it. I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. I know it's far too late for that. I set off some half an hour ago. But if you would like to make a donation, my God, that would be amazing. You can PayPal it. Do you? If you do that, to nottoday@swanburst.com. But if you could attach a note saying something like NTTY or not today or something like that, that would be really helpful for accounting purposes. Offshore Bahamian company that it is. Thank you. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. And I will be back on Friday, I think. Wow.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.